The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Open line again, your chance to have your say about whatever's on your mind by calling 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Thinking of Paige, who says, Andy, I know the clocks go back in 5 weeks' time, but did you know Monday is the vernal equinox? Monday 22nd of September is the vernal equinox. And of course, once we're out of September, into the final quarter of 2025. Where's it gone? Where has 2025 gone? Oh, the good news is, if you support Beach Buddies for the first time in 3 weeks due to bad weather, the forecast looks okay for Monday. So Beach Buddies are back in action at Derby Haven from 10:30 on Sunday morning. Beach Buddies in action at Derby Haven. The big red truck will be there, and everything is provided, the litter pickers and the gloves and this, that and the other, and they get rid of everything. That's this Sunday at 10:30. Let's get to the phone. And David's on first. Hello, David.
Hi, Randy. Just quickly there, talking about Alice the other day. It was so great to hear her saying about the green initiatives and what we should be doing on the island. And the emphasis was, what are we doing? What is the Minister for DOI, Barber, DEFA, actually with the new scheme coming out? Where is the new scheme? Is it on the horizon? What's it going to be? Because we're coming into the winter period. People want to organise themselves, what little money they've got, want or got to invest into their properties there. So we want to know what schemes are coming forward, what new initiatives are there. Is it for PV panels and it can be used for batteries? And just to let the customers know, our team, we've saved in our house anyway, 377 kilos from CO2 emissions. And we've, because it calculates out for you as well, the equivalent of trees we've planted, well, we haven't, but I have done some somewhere, is 11 trees. And I just wondered, Andy, what people think. We need a direction, don't we? Well, we're coming into an election.
The thing is that when they talk about it, and it was great when they used to say, look, you know, we can provide stuff, whether it's lagging for the loft or it's a new front door or it's some... just something that can be done, because I think that's what people understand. Granular detail, they call it in management speak. Brass tacks. People want to know how they can do it, because most people are signed up. They want this sort of stuff for their house to make it more sustainable and what have you, and to save energy. It's just that it seems a bit of a barrier to climb over.
It does, and I don't know why it's a barrier when it's so simple. When you're using a percentage of, say, government money, whether that's a grant or a loan, because sometimes people just can't afford it. They can afford so much, but then want a bit of a loan maybe to do something like that. Like being a first-time buyer, when you bought a house, you had a loan from the government, which was the taxpayers originally there, to buy your property. And you look at the properties now that people have got, but you look at the price of the houses there. I don't think I could afford a new house if I didn't start it when I was young and years ago. That's the way to look at it. And the final thing, if I could say to Alice, if she's listening, hopefully she is, does the Green Living Centre still at the back of, what's it called?
Oh, the old ShopRite.
Yeah, down at...
in Chester Street, wasn't it?
The car park.
Yeah,
that's the thing too. What is the government doing with the shop that was there, which the school's on top of it, the playground's full of crap. I shouldn't say that, but it is. And the other thing is, what are they doing with that old store? What's the future of it? And while we're onto it, I listened to an advert regarding something or other there that said they're about the old vehicle testing centre. Somebody's at the back of the old vehicle testing centre. What are we doing with that? That's a government building. And I know Mr. Krugel's brought out, was it 17 million or 1.7 million in savings. When is that going to happen? You know, we need to find these things out, don't we? It's coming into an election period to find out, A, what we can do with the money we've got. And this is government itself. And what new initiatives are coming forward from government? I don't see any of them.
Okay. All right. Have a good weekend, David. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Cheers. Now, 12 minutes past 12. Apparently, all grant claims have got to be submitted by the 30th of September. This is for the Green Living Grant Scheme. If you miss the deadline, you'll be liable for 100% of the cost of any work which your contractor does. The Green Living Grant team is on 687333, or you email greenlivinggrant@gov.im. All lowercase, all one word. So the Green Living Grant, 687333. It's going to be superseded. The Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture's departmental plan has indicated a new low-carbon heating scheme for residents, which will replace the Green Living Grant scheme. And if you want more information, you just go to, I think it's Element Enterprise on their website. It's all there. The Green Living Grant scheme was created to help you with the reduction of carbon emissions and household energy bills, and provides a financial contribution up to, I think, £6,000 per property to help make residential properties more energy efficient. You may have had this. I mean, I know lots of people who've had new front doors out of it. They produce a Manx home energy audit, and the second provides funding of up to towards the cost of energy saving solutions identified the home energy audit. Financial support of 75% is available for recommended works with a value of less than £1,000, and 50% for recommended works with a value of over £1,000. Well, the 30th of September is the deadline. It's the 19th of September now. So I think the phrase is, get your skates on. Listening to this morning the increase of mental health and its potential causes, the links between poverty and having poor housing has always influenced how families and children cope with life generally. Noting where and how people live is the basic foundation of completing comprehensive assessments. Raising people out of poverty and providing social housing are the areas that successive MHKs, I think, have ignored until referrals overwhelm the services. So why are people so shocked or surprised by the professionals stating the flipping obvious? Thank you, Helen. 127. That was a story that came out this morning regarding the link between the professionals say between children living in poverty and mental health struggles. Remember, says Andy, it's not government money. It's money from taxpayers who've paid tax. So there we are. It's not, well, we always stress this, it's not government money, it's taxpayers' money. L just said, I believe the old vehicle testing centre has been sold. What's going to happen there, I wonder? The Green Living Grant, I used it and needed more doing, but I thought it was finished, says H on 768. Are they keeping the store for the next pandemic if they know when it's coming, says Desmond. Do you know, Desmond? You're not in on the in, are you, Desmond, with the information? Remember, I mean, crikey, that store. It was Lipton's, wasn't it, at one time? Lipton's, then it became Safeway. Then in came Morrison's. ShopRite had a go at it. And then it was the jabbing centre for the pandemic. I wonder what's going to go in there next. And David's panels have saved the carbon of 11 trees. I'd rather have 11 trees than solar panels. Says Ian, we have to get rid of the... Well, solar panels seem very successful. However, the government seems backward in coming forward, doesn't it, with using solar panels. You don't see many government buildings with solar panels on top. It was also the Presto supermarket, apparently. Oh, congratulations, by the way. I must say congratulations to Mark Lewin, the Alabama government's chief executive. Mark Lewin, he says there's currently a greater emphasis on efficiencies and transparency during what Mark Lewin calls a period of change. Now, Mark took the role on as chief executive on an interim basis in April this year, but this week his contract was extended to a 3-year limited term. The Chief Minister, Mr. Cannon, confirmed an open recruitment process will begin in late 2027 or early 2028. This is Mark Lewin, now confirmed for the next 3 years as the government's chief executive.
I think the ongoing permanent conversations about how the organisation is, how our people are, what are we here to serve, who are we here to serve and how are we doing on that, that's something we always talk about. The Chief Officer Group as a collective talks regularly, works regularly on issues, on priorities, on how we are performing collectively against the challenges we're set. Financial challenges is clearly a big one, and inevitably every year there are more and more demands placed across the public service with limited resources, and we have to respond to that. From a culture perspective, I see, and day in, day out, we very much work as a collective. There's always more we can do, and there's always more we will do. We're going through another 12 months, a particular period of change. There's a lot more focus on efficiencies, there's a lot more focus on transparency, and we will do that as a collective, and we will make sure we are joined up and working together as best we can. One of our key roles is to make sure we have a public service that can be sustained. So the pursuit of efficiencies, and I know we'll talk a lot more about that. That was one of the priorities I was asked to look at when I came in April. And working with the Chief Officers Group, working with our central functions, whether that's digital transformation, whether that's making sure we got as good a use as we can of our partners and our contracts, making sure our assets are being fully utilised, making sure that we are doing the best we can in that space with our people. And services, stepping back and reimagining and redesigning for today's world, how they can function and how we do it in a sustainable long-term way. So the concept of financial challenges, making sure our services we can sustain. Increasingly it's difficult to say, every year there are more and more demands placed on public service. In a small island we do far more than we do or you would expect to see in other larger jurisdictions. And people of the Isle of Man, quite rightly, we like our way of life and we like the things that are provided, and sometimes when we believe we have to change some of that, that can be difficult.
Any thoughts on that? And that's Mark Lewin, the confirmed as the new chief executive for the next 3 years anyway. Well, he mentioned two things, financial challenges and the services that are required by the public. And I wonder what your thoughts are. The government now does an awful lot and more in our lives than it ever used to. And certainly during COVID, there was almost a paradigm shift in that the government was in all our lives on a daily basis. Now, it may be that some people like the government to be in charge. I mean, you often hear the phrase, don't you? What's the government going to do about it? It wasn't always the way. The government didn't run many things that it runs now. So is there any way back from that, or do you think this is the way that's going to go forward? And particularly, I'm just referring to Manx Care. Because obviously the cost of Manx Care will continue to go up. As a service, it's unionised. So the unions will never ever negotiate for less pay. So, logically, the cost of labour is just going to go up and up and up. The cost of drugs, the cost of consumables, well, they very rarely go down. I mean, sometimes drugs do go down, but sometimes they go up. And we've heard in the past few weeks just the cost of the slimming jab, Mounjaro, doubled over a weekend. So the cost of Manx Care is going to go up and 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 up. And that's a public cost. And we now demand more of the health service than ever before, and quite rightly so. If the stuff is there, then it should be there for us. But you have to reconcile that. The money has to come from somewhere. That famous magic money tree doesn't exist, even on the Isle of Man. And as that correspondent pointed out, there is no government money. There is only taxpayers' money. And I think in light of that, what Mark Lewin had to say was really interesting. And what will happen over the next 3 years. Robert's with us now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, very well. I'm a bit disappointed in the weather, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a bit windnail and I, isn't it? But I don't want to go there, but I know what you mean. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about was the fact that there's a quest at the moment for a lot of people to find a cheap cup of tea. And the answer, basically, is at Wetherspoons. Other shops are available because you can go in and you can have your £1.70, I think it is, cup of tea, and you get refills, and you go up to the first floor and you can read the newspaper and you can do all your stuff and you can chat with people there, and there's not much chatting that goes on, like, but, you know, people do, you know, get their fix. And I think that's a good thing, to be honest with you.
The cheapest cup of tea. I wonder where the cheapest cup of tea is.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter because you keep on getting refills at Wetherspoons for free.
Well, how much tea can you drink?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I don't want to answer it, but I mean, I think the answer is you've got unlimited option, don't you?
Well,
pay your £2 and you get your £2 drink. And, you know, that's new to the Manx experience. In the same respect, I would have thought that, you know, other things would have happened. Like, I think there's the fact that you can... There's a thing called Ting. It's a Ting method. It's the fact that you pay a certain amount, and if you don't use it, it goes over onto the next one, like the month and stuff like that. It's a bit complicated, but, I mean, it's the fact that if you don't use it, you can just use it whenever you need to.
Well, now you've made me want a cup of tea.
Why don't you have a chocolate biscuit with it as well?
Very nice. Thank you very much indeed. Have a good weekend, Robert.
Bye.
23 minutes past 12. It'll be interesting to see how Mark Lewin gets on, says Andrea, and if any improvements are made. Why do we have bigger public services than a larger city in the UK? Can our public services be streamlined? Maybe government needs to step back from some things that they're involved in. If they need to help with funding, fine, but then leave the organising to the experts instead of creating more civil servant jobs. Think TT, says Andrea. Well, the size of government's always been a vexed question, and subsequent governments have always said we're going to reduce the size of government. And let's face it, it never really happens, does it? Honestly, does it ever really happen? Certainly Mr. Bell managed to reduce the size of government. And maybe COVID was part of increasing the size of government. But we have a situation where government is by far and away the largest employer on the Isle of Man. And many people's point of view is, and Carl dropped a note in just to say, when you get the majority of people in the working population working for the government, there is a saying, turkeys don't vote for Christmas. Not in a disparaging way, but you wouldn't expect anybody working for government to criticise the size of government. The COVID Jab Centre, that's the old Shoprite, the old Lipton's on Chester Street, would make a good indoor kart racing track. Concrete floors already there. I just need the tyres, I'll just imagine it there, the tyres and some barriers, and get some carts in that place. Would make a good living for somebody, says Charlie. A cart centre in there. Well, what a thought. Regarding the wind turbines, says Charles, I get exasperated when people say, well, what happens when it's not windy? It's hardly ever not windy in the Isle of Man. And I think September has been very blustery, says Charles. We have too much government, says Jeff, local and central, and it all comes at a cost. I'd like central government reduced by a quarter, 25% over the next 10 years. We need good core services, not ethereal nonsense. What do you mean? Also, our government's slow to react to anything. There'll never be a headline stating the Isle of Man government is the first to do X or Y. Has that ever happened? Have we ever been the first to do that? I think years and years ago, perhaps. Women getting the vote? Thank you, Jeff. Anyway, the size of government on the Isle of Man. And bear in mind what I say, when most people, or the biggest part of the population, working population, works for the government. Are they ever going to say, my job's a bit redundant, I don't want this? John in Ramsey, Big John in Ramsey, says there's no mechanism in place legally to remove Elizabeth Shimmin from the board of Ramsey Town Commissioners, but in actual fact, they could push a no-confidence vote to remove Elizabeth Shimmin from there. Any decision-making... Oh, a saddened and upset Big John in Ramsey. That story's going on all the time. So the thought of big government and how to reduce it, and what do you think the government shouldn't be doing that it is now? That phrase often happens, doesn't it? What's the government going to do about this? The moment anything goes wrong, what's the government going to do about it? Were we always so reliant on government, on central government, to do things for us? Dawn says, Andy, I'm sorry to bother you. Never be sorry to bother me, Dawn. I've been going to Liverpool to receive treatment that I can't get on the Isle of Man. I've been 5 times now, and I'm very thankful for Manx Care to send me over. But I've been on different days, and this has happened every time. You have to be at the airport for no later than 6 a.m., and the flight back's supposed to be boarding time 6:45 p.m., home for 5 to 8, 1955. I've never in my 5 times been back before 5 to 9. So think about that. People are ill, going for treatment in Liverpool, at the airport for 6 a.m., back at the airport at 5 to 9. I have fibromyalgia and find it difficult with pain. I'm only 61. On the flights, there are people older and younger, and as young as 3 that I've seen. It's a very long day, as it is, and to have an extra hour is very upsetting for them. I've seen people have to get out of wheelchairs and have to pull themselves up the stairs because the equipment needed to get them is not there, just not there. I met an elderly woman in a wheelchair who had been at the airport for hours and wouldn't have a drink, wouldn't have anything to drink because she was afraid that she'd need to go to the loo. It's not Liverpool Airport staff that are responsible for this. It's whoever gave the contract to Loganair. From what I see in my own experience, I just want to know what's going on. Are they thinking of the residents of the Isle of Man who, through no fault of their own, have to go to the UK for treatment? I'm not confident enough to speak out on the radio. Would appreciate if you could bring this up. Thank you, Dawn. Well, more than happy to do that. Again, this is something that's been brought up in the past, and if you have experience of this, it is an awfully, awfully long day if you're going for treatment. Now, it may be routine treatment and it may be not very painful and maybe it's something that you can cope with yourself. But for people who can't, and for instance, as say when the ambulift isn't working and people are hauling wheelchairs up the stairs. Now, if you've got experience of this, I'd just like to hear, just to see if there's any, if this is a one-off or is it just... Is it more common? The Chester Street store would have been ideal for an Aldi or a Lidl. Shame to see the government didn't see this, so it's going to be empty. Well, I'm sure there's nothing stopping Aldi or Lidl coming over here, isn't there? For the 8th year running, Finland was named as the happiest country, even though income tax on earnings is over 27,000, is 30%. What would happen if Isle of Man personal tax was raised, say, to 26%, says Andy. Well, this will all come out in the election next year. And I imagine there will be, and there have been, certain candidates in the past who have advocated putting up the cost of personal taxation. And you've heard people on Man in Line before advocating that high net worth individuals should be encouraged to, or would have it imposed, a higher tax burden. It's been said that those with the broadest shoulders should shoulder more of the burden. However, on the other side, we are a low tax jurisdiction. It's how we're known. People know the Isle of Man as a low tax jurisdiction. And the moment our tax burden creeps up to what it is in the UK, well, there we are. Our USP disappears down the plug hole. Certainly, employing people on the Isle of Man now is almost close to what it costs to employ people in the UK. Well, if you've got any thoughts, I'd like to hear Thank you also to, that was Paige before, wasn't it? Stephanie says, what was this story about poor people more likely to have bad mental health? Well, it's on the website if you want to take a look. But Manx Care say that people on lower incomes are far more likely to need mental health services than others. Basically, the less you earn, the more you're in poverty or in lower incomes, the more you need likely to need mental health services. Ross Bailey's head of mental health. Ross has been on Man in Line before, but Ross told the Timbal Select Committee on Poverty that poverty and poor housing are major factors driving demand. He said that the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service had almost doubled its caseload since 2020, actually up by 96%, although the figure is reported to have dropped significantly over the past year. This is Ross Bailey.
We see significant issues where we see families with low income, where there's clear poverty, are massively overrepresented within our caseload. I think what's difficult to establish is a lot of that's anecdotal because we're not able to pull within our current electronic recording system. We're not able to pull the data to give that prevalence. But certainly my own experience as a practicing social worker, both in London and the South East, and on the Isle of Man, I've been there since 2008, we would certainly see significantly increased numbers of referrals from areas where there's the deprivation or with the certain housing. And the housing has got a significantly important role to play in this. So, it's just in summary, there's absolutely the association between poverty and mental health, and that's particularly profound in children. And if I can just, if I have the possibility just to quote, the Commission on Young Lives research in 23 said it's impossible to overstate how important poverty is in the driver for the social challenges experienced by children and young people and their mental health. And research finds that children from the least well-off 20% of households are four times more likely to have serious mental health difficulties by the age of 11 than those from wealthiest families.
Ross Bailey, he's the head of mental health on the Isle of Man. With him was Claire Christian, MHK, who is the Minister, Health and Social Care Minister.
We're certainly not an outlier. Any evidence that is drawn from in the UK can be comparable to the Isle of Man. We currently have a review into the integrated mental health and care and planning approach, which provides perhaps in the future the ideal opportunity to strengthen that assessment going forward. And in particular, sort of looking at the individual's economic and housing status and being able to get that data.
Claire Christian, the Minister. The hearing discussed the Thrive model, which is a system focused on prevention and early intervention. That's already around in the UK. And you may recall £3.4 million of funding was granted in June 2024 to implement the Thrive model on the Isle of Man. 1,200 people were on the CAMHS, the CALMS, Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service list. 1,200. Most for autism and ADHD. Here's Ross Bailey on what the progress has been.
Well, the work we've done thus far, it's been really effective in terms of reducing the number of children waiting, so that 67% reduction over that 12-month period, and we're looking for that to continue. Running along with that was the work to develop and create the Talk Service, which went live in June of this year. What the Talk Service has done really well is actually realise some of that qualitative data that my colleague was referring to. In terms of, I can quote all the numbers in the world in terms of referral to assessment times and referral to treatment times. It makes not a jot of difference if what you're doing is not making a difference. So understanding what the family's experience of that intervention, we get some fantastic feedback. And I think we're certainly in terms of mental health, we'd be trying to really, really be proactive in harvesting that qualitative data. So really truly understanding the interventions and work that we're doing, what difference is it making to those families and to those individuals?
Well, that's a situation we'll watch with a lot of interest. And if it involves you, if you have a child who's in that particular situation, obviously we're not going to mention any names, but if you can share any experiences that you have with us, it'd be really appreciated. Gary dropped a note in. It's all very well moaning about the size of government, but what services would you close down? Yeah, Gary, I'm asking you the question. My opinion's neither here nor there. You're the taxpayer. What public services would you close down to reduce the size of government? Because it's going up all the time. And remember, you get sent the bill. The government runs things now that it never used to run. So can you think of anything, Gary, that the government shouldn't run, that it does run now in order to reduce the size of government? And obviously, if the government didn't run whatever it is, it would be going to, let's just say, the third sector, a charity, or probably to the private sector. Would that be better? Would it be more efficient? Would it be a better service? Can you think of anything that the government shouldn't be doing?
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes. Come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
Fed up sifting through applications and hitting dead ends? We get it. It's not the high-flying life a boss should have. So step away from the desk, make a coffee, and let us take the reins. Orchard Recruitment adds a refreshing change to your hiring process. Getting to know your business and culture before finding you the right people. We won't send you any old CV. We'll cherry pick. Make your next onboarding fruitful. Visit orchardrecruitment.com.
Logan Air says, let the wee ones fly. Kids aged 11 and under go fare free. Just pay the taxes. Your next family adventure awaits. Book by the 23rd of September. Find deals at loganair.co.uk. T's and C's apply, subject to availability. Children must travel with a full fare-paying accompanying adult.
On October the 22nd, the Villa Gaiety is playing host to an evening with one of the UK's most popular TV stars, an audience with Kelvin Fletcher. For one night only, hear all about Kelvin's career, from Emmerdale to Strictly Champion, as well as his hit show, Fletcher's Family Farm. Don't miss out. Book your tickets online at villagaiety.com. An audience with Kelvin Fletcher at the Villa Gaiety. Brought to you by Mowgli Events and sponsored by Woodbourne Deli.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
762 says, Andy, we've been the first to buy the wind turbine blades before planning permission was granted. Oh, maybe that's the first thing. Eddie's with us now. Hello, Eddie.
Have we paid for them? I don't know.
Well, nobody knows, does it? Nobody knows.
Exactly. Nobody knows. This is the government that is very transparent, you see. You had a caller on earlier on about the government expenditure, you know, the have we got too many civil servants or have we not? Well, a couple of years ago I was on, and what I did, Andy, if you remember, was I took an example of any council in Britain, and I did an example which was the Isle of Man population, 83,500 people, and I randomly picked Trafford in Manchester area. They've got 235,000 people. Isle of Man civil servants, right, as against Trafford, Trafford have got 2,316 civil servants, right? The Isle of Man, I forget what figure it was we had, but the final workout in ratio was in Trafford, one civil servant has 230 people to look after. In the Isle of Man, one civil servant has 32 people. So yes, we are overmanned, but consecutive governments throughout the years have looked after the boys, I think. And how on earth could you get rid of all these excess people? But at the same time as I did those figures, Andy, I also realised that if we were on a par with other places that seem to cope with a lot less civil servants, we could actually save between 60 and 80 million pounds a year. Now, that would go a long way to solving a few of the little problems that we seem to get every year, money-wise, wouldn't it?
But we need to be specific, Eddie. I mean, what is it? Which bit of government do you think could be done better by either a charity or the private sector?
Well, it just figures itself. Why have we got three times the amount of civil servants as an average council in Britain? Why? Just answer that question.
Well, we do make our own laws. We are a self-governing jurisdiction. So, you know, we have never, ever been part of the UK. So, I mean, the comparison is indicative, but it's not exact. So remember, we have to make our own laws. So Tynwald will create a lot, i.e., you know, the House of Keys and the LegCo, that will create a lot of jobs. And obviously the government officers create jobs there that are dealing with legislation and enacting and enabling and running legislation. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons we're a self-governing jurisdiction.
Well, we had an MHK came on the last time I made these comments, and we fired back with every one of the councils in Britain has numerous amounts of police force, you name it, fire brigade, councillors, council offices, just the same. We are such a small 83,500 people, right? It shouldn't be so hard to look after 83,000 people, surely. I mean, whenever it would just take, for instance, Coast Guard. Okay, Trafford doesn't have a Coast Guard, but when we come to our Coast Guard, half of the time, whenever we need anything, we call in the RAF from Wales or Scotland, Ireland, you name it. We've got a very small force here. But it doesn't amount up to 64 to 80 million, does it? You know, we are overmanned. And a question I asked last time, which has never, ever been answered, I think Howard asked this question himself, I think 2 years ago. They employed, was it 240 people in the health service? And Howard's question was, what were they employed as? Well, nobody's ever come back to that. It's only a year ago, actually, that, wasn't it?
Well,
nobody's answered that question.
Well, the fact is, when you have a large part of the working population working for the government, it's not a popular question, Eddie.
Quite dead on, yeah. But something needs to be done there.
Something needs to be done if people are happy not paying more tax, because at some point the money has to be generated, has to be paid for. We can't go on, you know, raiding the reserves, because at some point the reserves will run out.
Well, another question that was asked quite a while ago is, how many people have we got in government on £100,000 plus? And that question has never come forward, has it? But the gist of all this is, we have too many people in civil service. It's just plain and simple. Just do what I've done yourself. Take any county in Britain and see how many civil servants they have, and just draw your own conclusion. We are three times as many as anywhere else. And it doesn't work. It's going to cost taxpayer money. That money could be spent elsewhere.
Okay. All right.
Eddie G.
All right, Eddie. Thanks. Yep. Have a good weekend now.
And you, mate.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. The government consists of 8 departments, 7 statutory boards, and numerous other government and quasi-independent agencies. Obviously, we've got the Cabinet Office, Department of Education, Sport and Culture, Department for Enterprise, Department for Environment, Food and Agriculture, DHSC, Department of Health and Social Care, Home Affairs, Justice and Home Affairs, Infrastructure, and the Treasury. I mean, lots of quasi-government stuff, like the Manx Lottery Trust, Manx Care, obviously, the Planning Committee, Swimming Pool Authorities, the Arts Council. Safeguarding Board, Public Services Commission, MERS, the Manx Industrial Relations Services. There's lots and lots and lots of stuff that government takes care of directly or indirectly. And the cost is going up. So at some point, and it's important next year because there is an election, what will you say, what question would you ask the candidate if they talk about reducing the size of government? Betty's with us now. Hello, Betty.
Oh, hi, Andy. I just got a question for somebody. I just wonder why there's so much more mental health problems around now. Is it just because they're more observed? But, for instance, I grew up in quite a poor area of Liverpool in 1936, so went through the war as a child, and a lot of people around me, most of the people around me, had very little money, even during the war. And I don't recall people having mental health problems.
I mean, genuinely, Betty, do you ever remember anything as a little girl or growing up? Do you ever remember any of the neighbours, anybody in the streets around? And, of course, they didn't beat around the bush then, did they? Did anybody, they'd say, he's gone balmy. Did anybody, did things like that ever happen?
I just remember one single woman who was quite mad. But apart from that, no. And I lived in a street where there were probably more than 100 people living. And none of this happened. And, you know, I just wonder what's happening today and whether anything that's done helps people that much, really. Perhaps, you know, just having periods where you feel down or periods where you feel sad, I think it's normal, really.
Well, yeah, it's a very valid point. It's a very valid question that nowadays we are certainly a lot more concerned with mental health. I mean, in fact, I got a message in earlier that just said, you know, 30 years ago, the phrase mental health was kind of pejorative. It was looked down on. And if anybody said that they were struggling with their mental health, people used to look sideways at them. Nowadays, it's absolutely commonplace, Betty.
And, you know, we didn't have, even the poorest people, and I lived in quite a poor area, we didn't have anything that the poor people today have. You know, we didn't have television, we didn't have, quite often we didn't even have radios, we didn't have electricity or hot water or baths in the house. We didn't have any of these things. We got very little presents at Christmas and birthdays. I just wonder what things are better for a lot of people today, and yet they seem to feel worse.
Well, it's certainly a far different world to the one it used to be, Betty, but I mean, there's so much about today that is far better than it was then. I mean, child mortality was quite high in those days. You know, there was things like diphtheria, polio, TB was around. So all of those have gone now.
Yes, yes. Some of them are coming back, actually, apparently. But yes, I agree with that, and I don't think things those days were better than they are now. But I'm just saying we didn't have nearly as much as they do now.
Okay.
But people don't seem to be happy for it.
Or appreciate. Well, be happy this weekend, Betty. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
At Lifestyle Furniture, we know a few things about furniture. We know that not everyone likes the same styles or designs, so we stock the most amazing eclectic range of furnishings for every room in the house. We also know that our customers like interest-free credit, free delivery and free fitting. So why not pop into our two-story showroom open 7 days a week? Lifestyle Furniture, it's everything your home's been waiting for. See our website for details, credit subject to status.
blowing a hoolie out there.
Come in for a bravig by the fire. Just stocked up at Hearth. Never been so warm.
Who's that? Hearth?
Aye, they've got kiln-dried hardwood for me log burner. Colombian coal and smokeless ovals for the open fire. Kindling and firelighters all delivered. Great value too.
All goes up the chimney anyway, so I pay more. I'll be giving Hearth a call.
Check their website as well. Just order and they deliver.
For all your fire fuel needs, call Hearth on 560 577 or visit hearth.co.com.
Ever wonder, have you got what it takes to be a firefighter, part-time or full-time? Come along to our Come and Try session, 25th of September, or female-only session on the 23rd. And visit gov.im/jobs.
The Festival of Motoring 2025 is back and going topless, with this year's theme being convertibles. On the 19th, Isle of Man Motor Museum and Derby Track. On Saturday 20th, cars on display on Douglas Prom. And finally on the 21st, cars meet at the grandstand for 10 a.m. and travel the TT circuit clockwise to Ramsey. Find out more at iomfm.com. Enjoy the largest collection of visiting convertibles with the Festival of Motoring, touring the island this September.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Bonzo's with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Yes, just quickly responding, before I talk about what the response I was going to give, just quickly responding to Betty there. I mean, does Betty want us to return to the way that we treated mental health problems and such problems in the 1940s or the 1950s or the 1960s, where people were locked up for extraordinary periods of time with little actual justification for them being locked up, and where they were subjected to all sorts of dreadful treatments, such as aversion therapy, electric shock therapy, in some cases even lobotomies. Like one flew over the cuckoo's nest. The treatment of mental health was pretty crude and, as I say, barbaric in some senses, until SSRIs came in the 90s, you know, the Prozac and such. And then a more enlightened attitude started to happen with mental health, as we had Afghanistan and then Iraq, and obviously the people coming back injured in both body and mind. So I think this, oh dear, you know, we were happy but poor, it's all people being, you know, not being able to hack it these days. I'm sorry, Betty, but that's just rubbish.
Okay.
To continue to the point that I'm going to talk about, Eddie and his understanding of local and central government and what it does and how it should be done. Well, of course, he's perfectly entitled to his opinion, however uninformed and unconsidered. I doubt he has any experience on either local or central government. He quite clearly, by what he was saying, simply doesn't understand the first principles of it. You simply cannot compare somewhere like the Isle of Man to somewhere like Warwick and Leamington, say, you know, Warwick District Council, which is, it's a bit bigger nowadays, but when I used to live there, it was about the same size of the Isle of Man's population, about 85,000-90,000. And of course, the staffing of Warwick District Council, it was not in the same way as our staffing of the Isle of Man, because, of course, so few people were actually civil servants. They were local government employees. Everyone in the Department of Education, for example, everyone involved in education, in the education piece of DESC, they're all civil servants. Teachers are civil servants. The finance officers are civil servants. The people who maintain the building, they are, technically speaking, civil servants. Like with Department of Infrastructure, it's people who do the roads. They would normally be people in the local councils, though they would be, the Department of Transport in the UK would do the really big roads, because we don't have that. But they are technically civil servants. Also, we aren't a local council. We're a nation state. We've got a flag. We have an aircraft and shipbuilding registry. We have a finance sector, which all need regulation. And then we take it upon ourselves to do things like healthcare, which the Warwick Hospital wouldn't be run by Warwick District Council. It's run by the Health Service. So you're not comparing apples with pears at all. No, you're comparing apples with staircases. And that really is far too simplistic. And anyone who, in the next election, goes around blithely suggesting that civil service needs to be cut by a third or a half and so, or some ridiculous number such as that, really doesn't understand what civil service, what the public sector does, and what it needs to do in order to do it, in order to provide the services that they want.
So briefly then, is the size of government inexorably just going to rise, Bonzo?
No, but it does have to be the size that it needs to be to do the job. How we define that job is, of course, for us.
OK, all right, appreciate it. Have a good weekend, Bonzo. Thanks for calling.
And you. OK, cheers. Bye.
That's it. Thanks for being part of Man in Line this week. Thanks to Ben on the phones today. I hope the weather improves for the Festival of Motoring if you're part of it. Enjoy your weekend. Back with an open line on Monday.
W I